Yes, I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Josh Rogan, writing global opinion for the Washington Post, observing the UN approaching an extension or a revalidating of the Director General, Mr. Guterres, for another term, another five-year term. But, Josh, a very good evening to you. I learned from you something I did not know. The election process at the UN is in place, although it appears informal because countries must nominate candidates for the director generalship. And this time, with this present challenge of a new term, there only seems to be one candidate. Do we know why there's just one candidate? Good evening to you, Josh.
Well, good evening, John. Well, for the first 70 years of its existence, the UN chose its top job secretary general through such an opaque process it was often compared to a papal conclave. And then in 2015, they passed a new rule which set up a competitive election. One might even call it a democratic-ish election process. And there were 13 candidates, and, you know, it was a little bit opaque, and they had some secret ballots and this and that. But essentially, once Antonio Guterres was selected, they could claim some progress towards openness and transparency. So it seemed to a lot of people that when, you know, the Secretary General was up for his second term, that there would be another competitive process. But as it turns out, there are no other official candidates in the race here in 2021. And that's because no member states have put forth competing candidates. And can you imagine a situation where 193 countries, nobody even wants to, you know, hold a debate, hold any hearings? So, you know, none of that can really happen unless you have two people to debate. And that's not to say there aren't people who want to run against Guterres. There are, but they just can't get on the ballot because the General Assembly President and the Security Council have decided that they're not going to recognize any candidates who are nominated by a member state. That's not an actual rule. That's not written down anywhere. It's just the way they've decided to interpret the resolution. And, you know, a lot of these other candidates are just lamenting the fact that we have a world body that's supposed to represent some sort of world democracy and it doesn't practice democracy under its own roof.
International bodies often, not always, write things down. They like to make decisions unanimously if there are any dissenters. Can we presume from this there's no dissent by the member countries because they're going forward with this process of reconfirming what the status quo?
I mean, what we can say is that none of the delegations are willing to express their dissent. In other words, if it's assumed that it's a fait accompli that Guterres is going to get renewed for another five-year term, then it's not in any of these countries' advantage to mount some sort of challenge to that. In other words, if there's no real election, then why play? But, you know, there are a lot of former presidents and former officials who want to get into this race, but there's no opportunity for them to do so. So it's kind of a chicken-egg kind of problem. And, you know, if you just think about what's gone on in the UN in the last 5 years, you would think that there would be a lot of countries and a lot of member states and a lot of, you know, human beings who think that, you know, Antonio Guterres' tenure deserves a hard look.
Right.
I mean, how did they handle the pandemic? Not very well. How did they handle, you know, how's the World Health Organization functioning? How's the, you know, various UN organizations are in various states of disarray. The Human Rights Council, the Security Council, they're all basically broken organs. And what we have in the United States, as you know, is broad dissatisfaction and a lack of confidence in the UN. Well, this is why, because they don't reform, they don't change, they don't address the problems. And that might be because the political culture is such that nobody even challenges the leadership when there's an opportunity to do so.
You spoke to a UN employee, Aurora Akanksha, who is, to her presentation, a candidate if someone would nominate her. Who is she, and is there a mechanism for her to come to the attention of the Security Council?
Right. So Aurora is 34-year-old, Indian-born Canadian citizen, a woman who works in the UN Development Program, although she's taken a leave of absence to run this campaign, as an audit coordinator. In other words, there's two sides of the UN. There's the political side, and then there's all the thousands of people who are implementing, the implementing side. She comes from the implementing side, from the worker bee side of the UN. And, you know, as an audit coordinator, what she witnessed was gross waste, fraud, and abuse on a massive scale. She told me that, you know, they had a chart to map the UN organizations and that there were 100 organizations on the chart. But then she found 10 organizations that weren't on the chart. So she went to the guy who made the chart. He says, yeah, even I don't know how many organizations there are at the UN. That's what we're dealing with. Did you know the UN has 6 different bodies to deal with climate change that work independently of each other? You know, that it's a sextuple, you know, wasteful, bureaucratic mess. And then if you think about some of the other initiatives, what you get is a lot of reports and a lot of conferences, but not a lot of action. Meanwhile, the problems that UN is supposed to address rise, and, you know, big conflicts can't be settled there. So what are they really doing all day? And, you know, she didn't get she sent a letter to every member state in the UN, all 193. She met with all these delegations. None of them want to sponsor her. So she has no way to force them to recognize her candidacy. She and many others are considered applicants, but not candidates. That means they can't get hearings, they can't be in any debates, so she's no choice but to take her case to the people.
We have a wonderful quote from Aurora. We've had 9 secretary generals and 8 reform efforts, which means everyone except the first guy has tried to reform the organization. I love this, Josh. What we have is the UN reduced to one very careful sentence. 9 director generals, 8 reforms. And I'm guessing Mr. Guterres is going to reform again under his second term?
Yes, as he did in the first term, and even though it didn't work. I mean, what she calls them are reshuffles. In other words, oh, well, we'll do 2-year budgeting. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, now we'll do 4-year budgeting. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, we'll go back to 2-year budgeting, and so on and so on and so on. And, you know, what are the reforms that they're not making? Well, they're not digitizing. If you just took the whole UN and – you know, digitize, modernize all the technology and consolidate the organizations, that would solve a bunch of the problem right there. The other thing she noted about these 9 secretary generals is that they're all old men and there's no youth and no women represented. That was an issue again in 2016 when there was a competitive election and a lot of people were like, hey, maybe we should try a woman as the head secretary just to shake things up. And this year, of course, that's impossible because there's no other candidates. So, you know, her argument is basically that, you know, if you really wanted to reform the organization, you would have to bring in the new constituencies and you would have to bring in new voices. And that's exactly what they don't want to do.
We have an ambassador, Linda Thomas Greenfield. I do not know, but highly recommended to me for her work before she became ambassador. I believe the ambassador has made extremely vivid remarks about inequality and equity and especially representation of women, I can imagine, and race differences at the UN. And to your knowledge, that has not moved the U.S. delegation to suggest that Aurora might make a candidate just to put up a second candidate so Mr. Guterres doesn't look like a rubber stamp.
Yeah, no, I listened to Ambassador Thomas Greenfield's remarks on race at the UN, and I thought they were poignant. And she spoke to her own personal experience dealing with racism growing up in the United States, and she talked about the ability of America to evolve and change and debate and openly address its flaws. And that's what makes our country great and what makes our people good. So that's all well and good, but no, that doesn't mean that the UN is going to do any of those things. And, you know, when I asked the State Department about this, they said, we support the Secretary General. We like the Secretary General. We look forward to working with the Secretary General. They know which side their bread is buttered on, you know, and they're not going to, you know, risk the, you know, United States relationship with the Secretary General for this young woman who they don't know. But you would think there might be one country in the world that would stand up. But so far, there have been 0.
Josh Rogan, he is the global opinion columnist for The Washington Post, writing about the pending reconfirmation of the Director General of the United Nations, Mr. Guterres. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.